The MarTech Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
From advertising to software as a service to data.
Across all of our programs and clients, we've seen a 55 to 65% open rate.
Getting brands authentically integrated into content performs better than TV advertising.
Typical lifespan of an article is about 24 to 36 hours.
If we're reaching out to the right person with the right message and a clear call to action, then it's just a matter of timing.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of world-class marketers that use technology to drive business results and achieve career success. Here's the host of the MarTech Podcast, Benjamin Shapiro.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast. I'm Benjamin Shapiro, the executive producer of the MarTech Podcast, and today we've got a special episode for you, which is going to be guest hosted by Doug Bell, who's the CMO of Chief Outsiders. Doug is a veteran CMO with a background in helping growth stage B2B SaaS companies reach their true potential, and I'm thrilled to invite him and some of his friends to take the microphone and share their knowledge with you, our loyal MarTech Podcast listeners. Okay, here's a special episode of the MarTech Podcast, guest hosted by Doug Bell, the CMO of Chief Outsiders.
Hello, marketers. My name is Doug Bell from Chief Outsiders. And today, we're going to be talking about navigating the evolving data landscape. Joining me today is Alex Terrio, who is the Chief Growth Officer at Lotimi, which is a technology company that makes customer data smarter, faster, and easier to use for digital marketers. Lotimi's end-to-end data collaboration platform empowers marketers, agencies, and media owners to access, analyze, and activate the data they need to understand and engage consumers. Yesterday, Alex and I talked about the rise of data collaboration, and today we're going to continue our conversation by talking about the effects of third-party cookie deprecation. Okay, here's my conversation with Alex Terrio, the Chief Growth Officer at Lotimi. Alex, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, Doug. Thanks for having me back.
So this is the cool stuff. I mean, that first episode, ridiculous. I think multiple award winning podcast episode. But really, I think in many ways, what we were doing is talking about the environment that so many marketers are facing in the near future. And that is a world without third-party cookies. So Alex, explain the potential impact of third-party cookie deprecation. And specifically, what I want to hear about is how it's going to change how we're able to track user behavior across different websites.
So what we're expecting to see is definitely a diminishing access to what a complete profile of a user looks like. A lot of the ad tech ecosystem, definitely the programmatic ecosystem, relies on third-party cookies today to stitch together what Alex Terrio as a consumer is doing across different browsers, across different timestamps. So with that going away, it's much harder to understand and connect a brand and their advertising initiatives to the right message at the right time that is personalized and appeals to them. And there's been a ton of research done the last year or two that validates that the consumer wants a personalized experience. The scary thing that lies ahead of us is there's a lack of understanding and a lack of true appreciation of what personalized advertising offers in exchange for free content.
And are there industries that you think are more likely to suffer from this change than others?
So what we're seeing, this kind of begs the what's the solution to third-party cookies going away. There's a myriad of different solutions, but there are solutions that rely heavily on deterministic identifiers. So building a relationship between a brand and a consumer where they authenticate in. So they actually give you first name, last name, email. And that is something that is perceived to be the future of how to then be able to re-engage that consumer. The challenge with that is that's a really good strategy for retention and messaging to your existing customer. But what about finding customers that look like it? So to answer your question, what are the industries with long sales cycles? It's going to be harder if somebody buys a car in 2018. What's the likelihood they have the same email 7 years later if the average car process takes 7 years before they buy a new one? That's very different from a e-commerce site, maybe even just selling diapers to new parents, that they're going to subscribe, they're going to give that information. So that product, that kind of CPG brand, probably has a wealth of first-party data tied to an email and is able to rely upon a more frequent sales cycle. So that's kind of two ends of the spectrum. Lotame, what we're trying to do is solve for not only the known, which is that authenticated email-based relationship with your customer, but also the unknown. So our technology allows for brands to understand and identify user behavior, whether they're authenticated in or not. And think about for a brand where they're selling products on their site, but only 10% of their products are sold on their site. There might be some consumer product review, even somebody adding to cart, but they don't make the purchase. That's a highly qualified prospect that a brand today is able to rely on third-party cookies to go find. When those go away, that's at risk.
How do you see customer data collection evolving in response to the changing, let's call it, landscape of data privacy and the shift away from relying on third-party cookies?
I think the smart brands are going to focus on a better value exchange between themselves and the end customer. So give me a reason that I'm going to give you my personal information. An example I like to use is before COVID, I had no direct relationship with my local grocery store. I actually had no loyalty to my local grocery store. I would go to two or three different ones. When COVID happened, one of the three started offering a deliver to your car. And I said, great, here's all my personal information. I'm not only going to log in on my computer to build my grocery list, I'm going to log in on my phone when I show up at the parking lot. So now you can even cross-target me. It was a wonderful and obvious value exchange. So they now fully understand what I buy, when I buy it. They probably have a nice persona built of my family relationship, you know, how many people are in the house, that I've got a dog, I've got young kids, all of that. So the brands that have that leverage and have figured out the value exchange, they're going to probably excel. And then there's a lot of brands who, it's not on them, it's just very hard to obtain that type of value exchange. So they should be thinking about data collection differently. It might be more panel-based or survey-based. So think outside the box, be more strategic with how you can obtain data that is first-party to you that represents your customer.
Time for a one-minute break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. In 1919, John Wanamaker said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. I just don't know which half." Well, the advertising landscape has changed since then, and instead of reaching your audience on two channels, you're probably reaching them on 20. Turns out John didn't know how easy he had it. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on striving towards marketing effectiveness. No matter how complex your marketing strategy is, Mutinex Growth OX is the market mix modeling platform that measures the impact of marketing on your bottom line. Mutinex's market mix modeling platform calibrates your insights against the latest market conditions so you can make media and marketing investment decisions confidently and quickly. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, your best decision starts here. To learn more about Mutinex, go to mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Okay, here's the rest of today's interview. A special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, the marketing mix modeling platform that makes measuring ROI fast, easy, and cost-effective. Request a demo at mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co.
Boy, it sounds like a scary world. I mean, I love the idea of a value exchange, and I think we could spend a lot of time talking about all the examples of how brands have created those. And my wife certainly has lots of value exchange data classifications happening in the background, probably unaware for her. but it does make her shopping experience better. The scary piece is moving away from, let's call it real-time information, or maybe even a 24-hour lag, to one-off, and you mentioned before, say, surveys as an example. And I think let's stay away from the scary right now, because this is a family show and I don't want people to have nightmares. But what I would mind doing is going back to something that you and I talked about yesterday, which is alliances, data partnerships, if you will. Do you see that as being sort of a counter to this idea of us having little sort of real-time data? In other words, finding partnerships out there that sort of enrich our understanding of our third-party activity?
Absolutely. So at Lotame, we have one of the largest data marketplaces, and we do so specifically because our customers tend to be the ones who need to better understand the aspects of the lifestyle and the propensity to buy that isn't represented from their first-party data. A huge growth opportunity for first-party data is the use of AI and lookalike modeling. So whether you're pushing that data directly into Meta, into a DSP like the Trade Desk, and you're relying on them to do that for you, or whether you're doing it in-house or working with a partner like Lotame, where you can kind of centralize that and understand the data attributes that are fueling that lookalike, we expect a majority of brands are going to be relying on lookalike modeling to create that scale that fuels their advertising campaigns.
And you brought it up, and thank you for throwing the machine learning and AI wrinkle in there. Tell me about the role of, my brain is sort of going to, there are gaps in the data, and you can infer, really filling those gaps with a very strong machine learning and AI component. Is that what we're talking about?
Correct. But that can only be as good as the wealth of data that you have available to fuel that. So I can give you an example. There are some customer data platform CDPs that tout lookalike modeling. That's great, but you're only ever going to have your first-party data to model off of. So there's a ceiling there. And again, it might be great for fueling some kind of product recommendations amongst your existing customer base, but it's not going to help you find a net new customer. So making sure that the data partners that you select and work with have enough data, diverse enough data, consented data, all of that is really critical to fueling the prospecting strategy and executing accurate lookalike modeling.
You know what we haven't talked about, Alex, is whether or not deprecating third-party cookies is a good or bad thing. What do you think?
I think it's a good thing. I wish Google would stand to the timeline so we're not all waiting. But I think when it inevitably happens, it is a very good thing. It's long overdue. We've been a bit lazy and relying on third-party cookies. And so it's an opportunity to improve. And I think we will see some of the key players that are proposing solutions for it bubble to the top. I also don't think that there is going to be one-size-fits-all solution. I think there will be a portfolio approach that will range from modern contextual activation. It will absolutely include the walled gardens, but we also believe strongly in the universal IDs that are bringing forth a way to maintain that connectivity across platforms.
So to summarize, it's going to make us better marketers, one. Two, to the degree that we're not held to a walled garden where data collaboration between brands is probably not going to happen as much as we want to, but ultimately it sort of forces into a situation where we're looking at frenemies, if you will. We talked yesterday about hotels versus airlines. And really, at the end of the day, looking to each other to really create these data sets that we can use. Do you think there's a possibility that we're going to start seeing common data sets and data collaboration within, let's call them now enemies, or sort of broader product segments? So let's stay away from CRM because at the end of the day, that's in many ways settled out. But say forming categories where there's 7, 8, 9, 10 vendors. Do we see a world where potentially they're willing to get together just simply because they're lacking for data? Or do we just lean back into this idea that our marketing gets better because we're less lazy?
I think it's more of the latter. I think it really is a forcing function. We're also going to see some of the bad players fizzle out that have been doing some questionable things. And again, some of the good players, the strong players, bubble to the top.
And good players, strong players, I understand and recognize my prospects. I understand my ICP. My messaging typically resonates. I'm post product to market fit. And I'm putting things together in a narrative in a way that is not intrusive, but helpful to potential buyers. Did I define that well?
I think so. I think the more tech savvy CMOs of the world have a huge opportunity to excel I wouldn't sign up to be one of them right now. I feel for them. They have a very lofty day job, but we're already seeing the ones who are really leaning into alternatives already excel.
And I think we're seeing the stronger CMOs, the stronger leaders sort of rise to the top. You mentioned this when we were chatting when we first got together here, Alex, about the fact that ultimately a lot of CMOs are more and more technical these days. I would say at a very minimum, they need to be much more data conversant. And those that are not ultimately will struggle with this ideal state of creating narratives based on data and being able to put that in front of their prospects. I really learned a ton today. Alex, I really appreciate your spending some time with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Big thank you to Alex Terrio for joining us today. If you can't wait until our next episode and want to learn a little more about Alex, you can find a link to her LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can visit her company website at lotame.com. That's LOTAME.com.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to our guest host, Doug Bell, the CMO of Chief Outsiders. If you'd like to get in touch with Doug, you could find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can contact him on Twitter, where his handle is Market Advocate. Or you could just visit his website, which is chiefoutsiders.com. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to martechpod.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter, and you can even apply to be the next guest speaker on the MarTech Podcast. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is MarTechPod, MARTECHPOD, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Or you can contact me directly on LinkedIn. My handle is Ben J. Schaap. BENJSHAP. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of marketing and technology knowledge in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day this year. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, my advice is to just focus on keeping your customers happy.
Thanks for listening to the MarTech Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. Looking to launch or scale a podcast like this one for your brand? Then visit iheareverything.com.